everybody. Welcome to season 3 of Boo, My Dad Says. My name is John.
And I'm Becca.
And we are your tour guides through the world of the paranormal.
We've got a whole lot of history, a whole lot of mystery, and a whole lot of weird.
So sit back, relax, and get ready for a spine-tingling time. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to season 3, the season premiere of Boo, My Dad Says. And we are live from the brand new Boo Mom Studios.
Boo Mom?
That's right. I figured since the show was named Boo, My Dad Says, we would name the studio Boo Mom Studios.
That is crazy. I'm not sure about that.
I think it's a wonderful idea because you deserve it. You are the heart and soul and the laughter of this show.
Oh, you mean I'm the smart aleck?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I see how it is.
But anyways, how are we doing tonight, dear?
Oh, I tell you, it has been a wild few weeks. It really has. We are settling into the new house and the boxes are like little bunnies. They just keep multiplying. I take a load that I have unpacked, and then suddenly there's 1,000 more that have to be unpacked. So I'm not really quite sure how that happens. So that's going on. And our oldest is getting ready to go to camp this week with church. So that's exciting. And the little one is going to a birthday party. So it's going to be, we've got a busy couple of days. I'm just very thankful that at least I'm a teacher and I do have the summer off to get all this crap done.
Yeah, the moving has just been unreal. I mean,
we are too old for this mess.
It'll take 2 years to unpack all of this stuff.
No, if it takes 2 years, it's going to the dump. Like in 6 months, if it's still in a box, I'm tossing it.
That might be a good policy until you toss it and we need it again.
Hey, then we'll just buy it again. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. That is my mantra.
It'll be fine.
Exactly. I mean, it's just stuff, number one. And number two, we can just get it again. It's fine.
Well, I thought I just about became a subject of our podcast tonight when we were downstairs trying to hang that TV.
Oh, yes. I heard hollering and yelling and screaming. I thought somebody had died. I thought either that A, somebody had died, or B, somebody dropped the TV. Which case, if it was one of my children, then that's AKA somebody was going to die.
Oh, come on now. But no, anyways, we were hanging the TV and there was this shelf that was sitting right next to one of the pieces of the entertainment center. And it fell over and hit my already sore big toe.
Oh, let's talk about that.
Oh, no. Okay, we'll talk about that. So Saturday, before we left for Orlando, I was unpacking the trailer, and I was a little aggravated because the boys were supposed to be out there helping me unpack, and I had come in to see what they were doing, because I was like, okay, maybe they're still eating breakfast. But they were sitting at the breakfast table watching something on YouTube, and I had been out.
As middle school boys often do.
Whatever. And so I was aggravated, and they finally came out. We went out to the trailer to unload. I hit my head on the trailer. So I threw the tote down to grab my head because it hurt. And then I got mad at the tote and kicked the tote. And I thought I just about lost my toenail. And I had went to the doctor.
Let's not get too graphic.
We talk about dead people, honey.
I know, but we don't need to hear about your rotten toe.
Okay, I digress. We've been very busy. And yes, we were on vacation last week. We were planning for season 3. And I think we have got a season 3 for the record books. You guys are really going to love it. And a little more housekeeping. You realize we have social media. That's right, guys. Come and hang out with us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just go look up Boo My Dad Says, and we'll be right there. Or you can do da-da-da-da.
You can send us an email. If there is a story you'd like for us to share on air, you can type that sucker out, send it to us at john@boomydadsays.com, and we will be happy to share your story.
Thank you very much, dear.
You're welcome very much, dear.
Now, did you ever get the Shark Bite coffee yet?
I am waiting on that old Shark Bite. I'll tell you what happened. There's a sweet spot of being able to order something and have it sent to the correct house. We are playing the game of, hey, something was on auto ship that we forgot about and it's at the old house. We've got to go pick it up. Just tonight, we had to text the people we bought our house from and say, hey, this package from FedEx showed up on the porch today. You need to come get it. So the Shark Bite is in transit because I wanted to make sure that we were here to receive it. We weren't out of town and that it would not get crossed up and end up at the old house. So I will keep you posted on the Shark Bite.
Well, anyways, as you know, Becca loves coffee.
Oh, yeah, and I love our coffee.
Affiliate sponsor is with Bones Coffee Company. Well, yes, I was hoping you would lead into our affiliate sponsor.
Oh, and they are my affiliate sponsors.
Yes. So if you want to order some Bones Coffee, and it'll help us out, if you'll click on the link, I've got a link on our Facebook group, or I will also link to our link on the show notes. And you'll help us out and you'll get some great coffee to boot.
If you like flavored coffee, I'll just preface that there. We'll just leave that alone for my friends that don't like flavored coffee. We can still be friends.
Also, if you would like to help the show out, you can join our Patreon. And we have different levels of Patreon for as low as $1 a month. And you all the way up to, I think we have a $35 tier where you actually could get to host a show with us.
Oh, scandal. That means I got to clean up.
No, it would be like a Zoom.
Oh, a thing. Digital thing. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's one good thing from the COVID is I don't have to clean up.
So yeah, there you go. Now, what are we talking about tonight, dear?
Well, in the spirit of summer vacation and in the spirit of traveling and fun.
And the fact that we were in Orlando last week.
We are going to talk about some haunted amusement parks, but not just Disney. We're going to actually talk about several today.
Yeah, we are actually going to be talking about Cedar Point. And as Becca mentioned, we are going to be talking about Disney a little bit. We're going to hit Six Flags up in New Jersey and Kings Island in Ohio. And there are a lot more haunted amusement parks out there, but these are some of the ones that really stuck out to me that I thought their stories were really good. And yeah, I thought this would be a great way to kick off season 3.
Absolutely. So to jump in tonight, we're going to start with just a brief history of Cedar Point. I don't know a lot about Cedar Point. I've never been there. I know, actually, it's interesting, this side note, because, you know, I'm all about the side notes, but our youth group at church, they typically do take a trip to Cedar Point each year. Like, that's just part of the thing is they go hit that amusement park. I've never been. So my kid's going to get to go. So that'll be exciting. But Cedar Point is a peninsula in northern Ohio located along Lake Erie. Oh, blah, blah. Let's just start that over. It's a peninsula in northern Ohio located along Lake Erie. It's also the name of the amusement park at the same location. It is near Sandusky, Ohio. In the 19th century, Cedar Point served as a lighthouse and a port for fishermen. In 1867, the peninsula became linked to a small railroad. The transportation forever changed this rural area. Within a few years, developers began constructing facilities to draw tourists to the regions, including bathhouses and picnic areas. The amusement park claims... The amusement park claims 1870 as its first season when the first bathhouse and other forms of entertainment were built.
That's old.
That's really old. And of course, it wasn't what it is now back then.
Oh, yeah, of course not. But I mean,
it did construct its first roller coaster, the Switchback Railway, in 1892. That's really old.
I mean, that's really amazing that roller coasters have been around that long.
I know, it really is. And to think how unsafe they probably were. No wonder we have some haunted stories to tell.
No joke.
By the 1890s, more and more people traveled to Cedar Point. When the Cedar Point Pleasure Resort and Company purchased the site in 1897, the firm paid $256,000. In the years that followed, more and more improvements were made at Cedar Point. New rides and attractions opened each year. Hotels that offered overnight accommodations were built as well. In addition to tourists traveling by railroad, they also welcome visitors traveling by steamship from Detroit and Cleveland. Automobiles also brought greater numbers. Places like Cedar Point, Buckeye Lake, and Sandy Beach Amusement Park offered city dwellers an opportunity to escape the city heat in the summer. And then in 1950, they underwent some changes. Part of the area became a bird sanctuary. It's known now today as Sheldon's Marsh State Nature Preserve.
Sheldon? Bazinga.
Not that Sheldon. Dr. Dean Sheldon. The park faced a major turning point in 1956. So they go ahead and they really decide they're going to amp this up in the 50s. And the two men decide to keep the park and make it into the Disneyland of the Midwest. This goal meant numerous improvements had to be made to Cedar Point. The amusement park drew larger numbers each year with more than 2 million visitors in 1965.
That's a lot of people in the 1960s.
It really is. In the 70s, the company began to purchase other amusement parks in the United States. This business became known as Cedar Fair LP in 1983. 4 years later, Cedar Fair LP went public and started trading on the New York Stock Exchange. In the past few records, we're going to just keep all this in here because, you know, it's fun for me to hear myself acting crazy and not being able to read or talk. In the past few decades, Cedar Point has claimed a number of world records. In particular, the amusement park has become known for its roller coasters. In 1978, Cedar Point opened Gemini, which set the records as the tallest, fastest, and steepest roller coaster in the world at that time.
Do they have any barf records?
I'd be winning that one. Gemini's record was surpassed by another coaster, Magnum XL 200, in 1989. 2 years later, it opened a wooden coaster named Mean Streak, which was the tallest and fastest of its kind in the world.
No, I will not ride another wooden coaster.
I know. You'll be in traction forever if you did.
The last time I rode a wooden coaster, and that was back before I had major back problems, I walked off that thing. I thought I was going to die. And it probably wasn't the worst wooden coaster either. It was brand new. I thought that was the roughest ride. Who would want to ride a wooden roller coaster?
I don't know.
And put themselves in traction?
These rides were followed by the Raptor, the world's tallest and fastest inverted roller coaster. In 1994. And Mantis, the tallest and fastest stand-up coaster in 1996. Cedar Point surpassed all of its previous records in 2000 when it opened the Millennium Force. This roller coaster is more than 300 feet high and once again set the record for the tallest, fastest, and steepest roller coaster in the world. Since 1978, Cedar Point has hosted an annual event called Coaster Mania that attracts roller coaster fans in large numbers. In addition, the park claims to be the roller coaster capital of the world. With its roller coasters and other features, Cedar Point has won numerous awards, including Best Amusement Park by Amusement Today's Golden Ticket Awards on several locations. So that's a lot of history, but there you go.
Well, that's pretty impressive that it won Best Amusement Park.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, considering how much Disney puts into their park experience, that is pretty impressive.
It's pretty neat. And I'll say this too, kind of getting ready to talk about everything that we're going to talk about tonight. I have never actually been to the Magic Kingdom. We went to Hollywood Studios, 3 years ago?
2019.
No.
Yes. Yes. It was right before the Rona.
2021. Okay. That's 3 summers ago. Counting this summer. Not last summer, the summer before last, whatever.
So 2 summers ago.
We went to Hollywood Studios, and that was my first experience at Disney. So some of you who have got major Disney infatuation, you know, you may have some stories that you want to share with us, or you may decide y'all are a bunch of kooks and you don't know what you're talking about, which is fine too. So, but I've never actually been to the Magic Kingdom or like any of those other places. We went to the Hollywood Studios once.
I was 4 when I went to Magic Kingdom. So I don't really remember it.
You were just a wee pup.
I was a wee pup. But anyways, let's take a break for an amusement park pro tip. And tonight's pro tip is if you go to an amusement park and you get the fast pass, order it beforehand.
Order it beforehand and make sure you select the right park that you want to go to that actually has all the rides.
Research, okay? research.
And normally research is my middle name. That is what I do. That is how I roll. That's how we ended up with our sweet dog, was because I researched and I did the groundwork. I did the legwork to figure out what we needed to do. Well, that didn't happen on this vacation trip this time because we were daggone trying to get moved. Because the whole move thing happened really, really fast.
But yes, anyways, if you go to an amusement park and you do their fast pass, it's always best to order it ahead of time because they treat it like a supply and demand thing.
You'll pay 4 times as much and there's no rides to ride.
Yes, I am not going to tell you what we paid for our fast passes at
$300
a piece.
But you know what? It's okay. It was, you know, you live and you learn. It's just money. And I mean, I say that very lightly. I am the budget Nazi. And it's
I have heard you say that so much lately that I'm wondering who you are and what you've done with my wife.
Well, I'm just realizing that, you know, yes, it's money, but I am very frugal in a lot of different areas. And that allows us to have a little bit extra for stuff like this because I'm a tightwad everywhere else. So there you go.
Okay, now moving on to the subject matter of the show.
I think he's trying to cut me off. He keeps saying moving on, and I'm not exactly sure why. I feel like I'm having fun.
Oh, we are having fun, dear. But we do need to get to our ghostly experiences at Cedar Point.
Hit it.
So we're going to start off first at the Frontier Town Carousel. And I guess...
Okay, this already sounds like not a good idea.
Frontier Town, I guess you know how these parks have different little areas.
The carousel sounds terrible.
Yeah. Frontier Town Carousel was home to one of the most well-known hauntings in the park. According to legends, a ghostly woman could sometimes be encountered riding a military horse on the carousel located in Frontier Town before it was removed. Rumors claim that the woman was the wife of the man who carved the horses for the carousel. According to the legend, he found out that she was cheating on him. That's usually how it happens anyways.
Bow, chicky, bow, bow.
With a jockey from the local horse track. And those jockeys, I swear.
They're usually pretty short, though.
Yeah. Supposedly, he shot and killed both his wife and the jockey upon discovering the affair. Some versions of the legend claim that the builder and his wife's remains... Oh, I'm sorry. The builder hid his wife's remains inside the carousel horse and that she returns to ride that horse at midnight during each full moon.
Ooh.
During special events where the park was open at midnight during a full moon, some riders have reported that they could feel the horses moving as they rode the ride or that they exited the ride with a horse bite on their leg.
Oh, dear. That's no good.
Nope. And while the carousel was still present in the park, employees often reported hearing music coming from the carousel at night. Sometimes the carousel was observed spinning backwards, according to reports by employees. Some employees also reported leaving the carousel at night, only to return in the morning to find the horses in different positions.
What?
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to sit there and, you know...
I think somebody had a little too much.
I am not typically the skeptic, but is it possible that somebody sneaked into the park? You know, because we don't know when this carousel was there. It could have been before video cameras. Somebody could have snuck in and messed around with stuff. But...
I feel like that's more plausible than the horses moved themselves on the carriage, on the carousel.
Honey, you forget that I was present at a mass bracelet movement in Rocky Mount.
I don't care. I mean, I don't care. How about that?
I saw a bracelet move.
I care But
half an inch.
Do you want me to sleep? Do you value, how much do you value sleep is really the question here. You can't tell me scary things. I talk about the history and I'm the sarcasm on the show. I do a great job with that.
There was once a black horse on the carousel with bones carved into its mane, and the image of the jockey was carved into the saddle of another horse on the carousel. These two horses have long been linked to the mysterious occurrences on the carousel. The original carousel was moved to Dorney Park in 1995, but the black military horse has been removed from the carousel and is currently on display at the Frontier Town Museum at Cedar Point.
In the Frontier Town.
Now, what's usually associated with amusement parks besides the park? You usually can't go to amusement park without being there being hotels nearby. So there's some hotels that are closely associated with the park, and one is called Hotel Breakers. Hotel Breakers is one of the most haunted locations in the park, with several parts of the building purported to be haunted by different spirits. Hotel Breakers is the oldest on-site hotel at Cedar Point and has a rich history. Throughout the past century, there have been many reports of hauntings and paranormal activity inside this hotel. Now, I'm going to say room 169, so if we ever go to Cedar Point, we know not to stay in room 169, dear. So
I'm staying anywhere. I'm staying at the Hampton Inn.
Since the early 1900s, employees and guests have reported strange occurrences in room 169. When the hotel was still just a beach resort, a guest named Mary supposedly hung herself in the room's shower. Guests in this room have reported strange problems with electric devices, mysterious sounds, including crying, and the shower turning on and off by itself. The rooms in this section of the hotel are now used as employee dwellings rather than guest rooms.
Oh, let's scare our employees instead. That's better.
Well, yeah. I guess
so.
Ain't
got nothing.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some kind of witty comeback, and it just ain't there. Now, there is a balcony.
Your chair is squeaky tonight. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah. Continue. It's really making a lot of noise. It's a little distracting.
It's not as loud as you think. This is the first time that we are recording wearing headsets. And
oh, I'm supposed to have my headset on.
Oh.
Okay. Yes, dear, I have my headset on.
It's not that big of a deal.
There we go. Oh, I do. I sound fun.
Yeah.
Okay. You would be so bored without me. Hush.
This show would be so dull without you.
Well, that's true.
If you all just absolutely love Becca, send me an email. Tell me how great she is.
Oh, my gosh.
Send it to John at boommydadsays.com.
That's retarded.
And maybe we could convince her in season 4 to take up the hot mama at boommydadsays.com.
I will take up some Scrum Delish. That was my little baking company I had for a while. The Scrum Delish, me and my friend.
She's trying to divert from the ghosts again.
I'm always going to divert from the ghost.
Anyways, there is this balcony in the Hotel Breakers that is supposedly haunted by the spirits of a man who made a suicide pact with his female lover.
What is up with that? That is totally ignorant.
Well, it happens. Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Bunch of idiots.
Anywho, moving on. According to the legend, the man jumped to his death from the balcony while the woman grabbed onto the ledge and pulled herself back up.
She's like, just kidding. See ya, suckers.
Saving her own life. Female visitors have reported feeling something pulling them towards the balcony, attempting to pull them over the edge and towards certain death.
Oh, my.
And, you know, that dude kind of got shafted there.
Well, but that's crazy.
The hotel ballroom is also the site of reported hauntings. According to witnesses, ghostly dancers can often be seen dancing in the ballroom. Haunting music can also be heard in the ballroom from time to time. And then there is a TGI Fridays on site at Cedar Point.
Oh, dinner.
Yes. TGI Fridays is actually pretty good, if I recall.
They are.
TGI Fridays restaurant located in the Hotel Breakers in Cedar Point is also reported to be haunted. Visitors report that pictures on the walls move on their own inside this restaurant.
Of course they do.
There have also been reported sightings of faceless apparitions in the restaurant as well as in other locations inside the hotel. So are we talking... Oh my gosh, I have a good one, but I don't know if I can do it.
Do what?
It would get political.
Don't do it.
I'll have to stop. I gotta stop. Bad John.
I was just gonna make fun of saying restaurant.
Restaurant?
It ain't a restaurant.
A restaurant.
Oh, good Lord.
And then, let's see here. How much do we have left on Cedar Point? We got two more little locations here. The Breakwater Cafe. We're already talking about coffee here, ooh, I guess. Coffee. Breakwater Cafe, an upscale restaurant. Is that better, dear?
That's much better. Thank you.
In Cedar Point restaurant.
I'm going to stab you with something. I think you have a ghost problem.
Is also rumored to be haunted. This restaurant.
Okay, is, that is not the right way to say it either, you goon.
I'm doing it just to get under your skin.
You're doing a great job.
The restaurant is located near Sandcastle Suites at the tip of the peninsula overlooking Lake Erie. Breakwater Cafe is said to be haunted by the spirit of a young boy who drowned in Lake Erie, just beyond the patio of the Breakwater Cafe. Several visitors have reported seeing the ghosts of this little boy in or near the restaurant. And then finally, CJ Provisions. Many visitors have reported strange things happening near CJ Provisions in the Frontier Trail. Employees have reported seeing shadowy figures walk past the doors before the park opens for the season. Employees also report feeling a presence in or near the stand when they are alone. According to the legend, the spirit of a young woman who often walks up and down the Frontier Trail looking for her boyfriend or husband, depending on which legend that you listen to, no one knows who she is or why she stays confined to this area of the park. One anonymous employee of CJ's Provisions during the 2003 season has reported that they would have, when they would leave a sponge in the sink of the fudge area and walk away, the sponge would disappear. By the time they return, occasionally the sponge would reappear sometime later. So that's Cedar Point.
There you go.
And that's a pretty haunted place.
There's quite all a things few considered. Things
there is. So let's jump over into old Uncle Walt's territory and talk a little bit about some of the hauntings at Disney theme parks. We're not just going to limit these to Disney World or Disneyland. So some of these will be on at different locations.
Yeah, we're just going to kind of move all around. So Disneyland was the original theme park, and it was built in the 50s, and they had Walt Disney had started. He had a big idea that he was going to do this big park in Florida as well. And when he did, he actually died before that was able to really take shape. He had been acquiring a lot of land, buying up, very discreetly buying up a lot of the land there in Orange and I think it was Osceola County, if I remember right. But anyway, he was buying up all this land, and he had started all these little corporations and LLCs and stuff to buy it up so it wouldn't look, now my chair's squeaking, to buy up the land so it wouldn't. People wouldn't really know what was happening. And after he passed away in 1967, Roy Disney, his brother, postponed his retirement, went ahead and came on out so he would be able to help see his brother's vision and dream fulfilled.
Now, this is Disney World?
This is for Disney World, yes. So, because Disneyland, like I said, was in the 50s, and so this was, so Disney World is actually the biggest of the Disney theme parks. Oh, I just knocked the man. I'm having all kinds of troubles here. Anyway, they started all this, and of course, he started it out as, it was going to be called the Epcot, which was the, it was short, it was for the, hang on, I lost it. It had a really crazy, the acronym for Epcot was, you can cut all this out. Where'd it go? I just had it. Oh, Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow was what Epcot was called. It was a planned community intended to serve as a test bed for new city living innovations. And like I said, so it started out as Epcot. And then as time went on, Disney's popularity began to increase. And they started, of course, growing and adding. And in the 1980s through 2020, through currently, they kept expanding and expanding. They started the Disney Wilderness Preserve, was started in 1993. And it eventually transferred to the Nature Conservancy. That way that they can restore, have the landscape restoration, wildlife monitoring, all of that. Disney's fourth theme park, Disney's Animal Kingdom, opened in 1998, which I thought that kind of surprised me. I thought it had been around longer than that.
Really? I actually thought it was newer than that.
Oh. 1998 was Disney's
Animal Kingdom. Little Mandela Kingdom. Effect, I guess.
I don't know what that is, but yeah. Let's see. So then it, the Animal Kingdom, so then, of course, they've added on, like, the different parts of it, of, like, you know, Star Wars Galactic Edge. You know, they've got all that. The Magic Kingdom, of course, was after Epcot, it kind of opened with Epcot. I'm backwards. You're going to smack me in the next week.
Anyway, I am not going to smack you in the next week.
I'm not doing a very good job. There's a lot. Disney's a lot. It's a very big expanse of, anyway, there's a lot of information here. It's a little overwhelming just because there's so much goes into it. And of course it has grown. There's all the resorts. There's the water parks. There's, you know, Disney, of course, is known for its, you know, for its customer service, for their...
It's not called the Disney Experience for nothing.
Right, you pay for it.
I mean, the thing with Disney, it's like if you've ever ridden a ride, the experience begins immediately when you get into the queue for that ride. You know, you'll look, like if you look at the Haunted Mansion and you're getting in line to actually ride the ride, while you're in line for that ride, it's almost like they're telling you a story from the beginning of the ride all the way up until you get on. And then even when you're leaving the ride, walking out of the rides, the experience does not end until you're totally off of it.
There you go. So thinking about like the overall attendance, what would you guess into like, so for the research that I did just goes to 2018. Of course, 2019 and 20, that is not normal years to get records on. How many overall attendance at just Disney World? Like
through 2018?
Yes. So no, for the year 2018.
For the 2018.
Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom.
I'm going to say 80 million people.
Too much. 58,311,000.
Well, I wasn't that far off if you think about it.
22 million.
Yeah, I was off by 22 million.
22 million is quite a bit. Quite a bit.
Well, I was going to sit here and go like, okay, I could say 2 or 3 million, but she'd just laugh at me.
I would laugh at that.
And
I felt like there was that many million there when we were there that one day.
So I figured I'd be better to overshoot than undershoot.
There you go.
So
All right, so that's Disney. And again, those of you who are avid, diehard Disney fans, I know I didn't do it justice. I'm sorry. If we're talking about books, I can talk all day, but, you know.
If you're listening to this episode, Diane and Kelly, please don't shoot us because we know you guys love going to Disney.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know. That's just not been my jam thus far. It may be my jam one day, but, you know, like.
Well, it's kind of hard for it to be your jam when you live 10 hours away.
You live 10 hours away and you barf, like, at the 3D rides. That's a problem. Now, give me SeaWorld. The funny thing is,
the barfing must be a recent development because before we got married, went to Six Flags and you rode every roller coaster I rode.
Oh, I did. I used to. I definitely could. It's just something, I guess, that's come with age. It has absolutely, it makes me, I mean, like I end up with a migraine from the pressure. I end up with nausea and motion sickness. I mean, I'm so old, it's pathetic. But like if I'm in the pool and like I do a flip, like in the pool, like just like do a handstand in the pool and then flip over, I am dizzy. The world is spinning. I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's changed since I've had kids.
The last roller coaster I got you on was the Flying Eagle at Dollywood.
The Wild Eagle.
And she called me names that I can't repeat on the air.
No, I was not a very nice person then, but he was so mean to me. He bullied me into getting on this stupid thing.
And so we're going up.
You know how they snap your photo coming down the hill? You can see the tears coming off my face as we're on that camera.
I was not mean to you. I may have coerced a little bit.
Coerced is code for bullying. But anyway,
it's peer pressure.
Whatever. It was awful. And I'm having flashbacks.
Little bit of announcement, guys. I am not as mean as she says I am.
Oh, no. I just like to call you mean. But you were mean making me get on the thing. You were not like mean, but you were like, come on, you big baby. Meh, meh, meh.
Chicken.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody calls me chicken.
All right, McFly.
Exactly. But anyway, yeah, I can't ride roller coasters anymore, which is sad because I used to love them. I really did. But
I know, that is sad because I didn't really ride roller coasters early on. And then when I got to the point where I could ride them, and it wasn't mostly, I come from very protective parents, people. That's just being an only child. And once I got on my own and old enough to do my own thing, I went hog wild and started riding roller coasters and stuff like that. That
rebellious spirit.
That rebellious spirit, yeah. So there you have it. And we're just sitting here talking. So let's get into the ghosts of Disney. And we're going to cut you all loose then, because I had a couple other places. And we'll see how fast I get through Disney, and we'll look at the others. So,
or we could just save that for a random episode one day.
We just might do that. So let's talk about the ghost of Dolly.
Dolly? Like Dolly Parton?
No.
That's the only Dolly I care about. But this ghost
probably did work from 9 to 5, so.
Yeah.
No. Actually, the ghost story itself is, a lot of people say it's an urban legend, but there's some really sad history behind this one. In 1984, Regina Young, known as Dolly, fell from her seat while riding the Matterhorn at Disneyland.
So she was a guest.
She was a guest. Employee. Yes. Okay. And was killed when she was struck by another oncoming bobsled. Her seatbelt was unbuckled, but we don't know whether she undid it herself or whether it was a result of something else. These days, cast members claim to have felt that somebody was watching them during their routine walkthroughs of the ride, which are conducted at the end of the day. The area on the track where Young died is known as Dolly's Dip.
Ooh, what ride was that again?
The Matterhorn.
Is that even still on?
I don't know. I don't know. But what was I going to say about that?
Sorry. Dolly's Dip.
Dolly's Dip. Oh, if I know Disney and the way they do things, she had to have unbuckled that seatbelt herself. I would just about bet that was not a oversight by the
malfunction of
employees or a mal. It could now it could have been a malfunction.
What year things was this?
1984.
Okay, I was going to say because now you can't unbuckle them. I mean, you are strapped.
Well, a lot of times you don't have. They don't. I think that's why stuff like this right here is why rides don't use seat belts anymore. And they use the metal lap bars,
right, or the harness, whatever yeah. that comes down.
Yeah. Because it'd be it's pretty hard to get out of those. Now, let's talk about the man himself, Mr. Walt Disney.
He died of lung cancer.
Well, I think he did smoke, dear.
He was quite a smoker.
If you are well versed in Disney lore, you probably are already aware of the fact that there is an apartment above the firehouse on Main Street at Disneyland. During construction of the park, which began in July 16th of 1954, with opening day following just a year later, they built that in 1 year.
Which park?
Disneyland.
Land.
Okay. Yeah. It opened on July 17th of 1955. Walt Disney, the man himself, wanted a place to stay on the property. It wasn't huge. It was just about 500 square feet. But it was convenient for those late nights and early mornings as Walt oversaw the Disney dream come to life. As a tribute to Walt, a light is always left on in the apartment's front window. But according to legend, that wasn't always the case. It is said that one day a cast member looking after the apartment tried to turn the light off before leaving. However, when she came back later, the light had turned on again. According to one version, she actually left the building, noticed the light on upstairs, went back up and turned it off, went back downstairs, noticed it on again, and then even unplugged the lamp, only to find it, you guessed it, on again when she went downstairs. The last time she went up there to deal with the light, it said that she heard a voice, Waltz, maybe, it says, I'm still here. The light in the window has reportedly been left on ever since.
Hmm. Interessante.
That is a very cool story. Now, this is also in Disneyland, California. There is the haunted boy at the boy in the haunted mansion, the California edition. And then we also have the boy in the haunted mansion, the Florida edition. At Disneyland in California, legend has it that a little boy's mother spread his ashes in the haunted mansion without getting the park's permission to do what? So.
Okay, that's creepy.
Yes. Ever since then, he's allegedly been heard periodically crying for his mother at the end of the ride. He apparently has been spotted at Pirates of the Caribbean, too, which is right next door to Disney's haunted mansion. But for what it's worth, Disney officials' stance on ash scattering is that it doesn't happen, according to a story in the LA Times from 2007. People do ask from time to time, but they are always told no. Additionally, it's worth noting that alleged ash scattering is connected to a wide variety of urban legends spread across a bunch of parks and rides.
Hmm.
Now, we're going to talk about the boy at the Haunted Mansion in the Florida. Now, the boy at the Haunted Mansion, Florida, is it the only one that is said to play host? I'm having trouble. California's Haunted Mansion isn't the only one that is said to play host to an actual ghost of a little boy. Someone posting in the WDW Magic forums in 2004 wrote that they allegedly took the photo seen in the. I'm going to cut this one, I think, because it talks about a. Okay, there was a photo taken. Ay caramba!
It's actually ay caramba. Not hike.
I said I.
Oh, I thought you said hike, caramba.
Oy vey.
Oy to the poodles already.
Enough with the poodles.
And 10 points if you know where that reference is from.
Yes. All right. So there was a photo taken of one of the doom buggies on the haunted mansion. And it appears as though that a child is peeking his head out over the doom buggy and looking directly at the camera. That's what the forum member wrote. Not only was he not there when he took the pic, there wasn't a child of this age within 20 people in front of him in line, and there was only a few doom buggies in front of him. Not only that, what they wrote on that post and try to reading it from a third person perspective is just not working.
I'm so sorry.
But basically the what makes it seem real is there was no flash, no visible light coming from the person who took the picture. And yeah, I'm going to cut that.
There you go.
There you go. Now, let's talk about, now here's one is definitely a real tragedy that is confirmed. Definitely not to be an urban legend, but is about a lady named Deborah Stone. In 1974, 18-year-old Deborah Stone was crushed to death while working as a hostess at the America Sings attraction in Disneyland. America Sings was located in the rotating theater that had previously housed the Carousel of Progress. On the evening of July the 8th, Stone was caught between the rotating theater wall and the stationary stage wall and died as a result. It's been said that Debbie has become sort of a guardian angel of sorts. It's said that cast members working on the attraction, which was open until 1988, used to hear a voice warning them, be careful if they got too close to the walls. And they've also added other safety. They had added other safety features since then for that. So let's jump over to another haunted location, and we're not really going to get into the history of the place, but I thought the story was too good to overlook, and that is Six Flags Great Adventure in Jackson, New Jersey. Back in 1984, if you notice, there's an 80s theme here going on.
The 80s were good times.
I don't know. I'm thinking these people might disagree with you.
Well, that's just because
The 80s was kind of like the 60s, I guess.
I suppose. You know. But all these big new theme parks were being started and people just didn't realize the safety precautions and stuff that needed to be in place.
So back in 1984, eight teenagers died in the haunted castle at Six Flags, New Jersey, when it caught on fire. And reportedly, in the rubble,
were they smoking?
No, not that I know of. Okay. But it was so bad that reportedly, in the rubble, firefighters couldn't differentiate from prop bones from the victims. Mm. And from there on out, though, the park was required to increase fire safety. Now, what has been said about that is there was a person, there was also another accident. I mean, we'll talk about the second accident, and then we will talk about the sightings. There was also a death on a ride on one of the roller coasters there. And I'm going to read, I actually have the short newspaper clipping here about it. It says, officials at the Six Flags Great Adventure Amusement Park reopened a roller coaster yesterday afternoon after investigators concluded that a man who plunged to his death from the ride might not have used a safety bar. The man, 20-year-old Scott Tyler of Middletown, a park employee, was on a routine test ride of the Rolling Thunder ride Sunday morning when he fell. Engineers from the park and the New Jersey Department of Labor and Industry declared the ride operationally and mechanically sound, said a statement released by the park. According to employees and other eyewitness accounts, all safety equipment was in place when the ride began, the statement said, and the investigation so far indicates that Tyler may have assumed an unauthorized riding position that did not make use of the safety feature of the restraining devices. Now that I've got those two stories put aside, those really did happen. Here is the sighting that was seen. And this was from, I found on a website. It was, I think it's called Real Ghost Stories. And this came from a lady. She goes, my boyfriend and I went to Six Flags Great Adventure Amusement Park yesterday. When we came back to wait for our bus in the parking lot, we were early, so we decided to watch the King of Ka and the Superman coasters to take some pictures. After taking pictures, we were leaning on the white plastic division blocker for cars when my boyfriend kept looking next to him while we were talking. Then out of the corner of my eye, I saw some young dude in the ages from 17 to 23-year-old, about 6'1", standing next to me. He had a curly red or brownish afro and was wearing a red shirt, kind of like a red, black, white lumberjack. And I asked my boyfriend if he saw something standing next to me. He said, no, but I thought I saw someone sitting next to me. Come to find out, we saw the same guy. He described him with blue jeans and an old black and white, Converses with a red shirt, something that you would have worn back in the 80s and 90s, old school gear. And this was back in 2007. So I guess the 80s people gear. Are old. I'm a little offended.
I feel like I'm triggered. But,
yeah, I feel triggered. So today I found, so then they talked, so what they had saw matched up with what some of the people, you know, the styles of the people that were killed either on that ride or in the fire. It says, so today I found this on the web. On August 16th, 1981, 20-year-old park employee Scott Tyler of Middletown fell from the roller coaster Rolling Thunder and eight teenagers who died in the haunted house fire in 1984. I know there are many more deaths probably, but I wouldn't be surprised if I had seen Scott Tyler, but they would need a picture of them to tell. So they think they saw the spirit of Scott Tyler there. And people, there have been many people who actually had seen some of these other teenagers that had perished in the fire. But that was just one of the better examples. And then lastly, the Six Flags in New Orleans.
There's a Six Flags in New Orleans?
There was a Six Flags in New Orleans. Got it. Until Hurricane Katrina came along.
And okay, that's still pretty recent. Like, I had no
idea. Yeah, 2005. But what happened to
something every day?
Yeah. So what happened to Six Flags in New Orleans is basically it got damaged beyond what they Six Flags was willing to repair. So they abandoned the park.
That's never good.
And it looks like a ghost town. I mean, the roller coasters are still up, the rails and stuff, but it just looks like a ghost town. But the last story is that people hear eerie sounds and people claim to hear phantom laughter and music from the rides that haven't operated in over a decade.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Which I'm not surprised by that because, you know, we've talked about the residual haunting and where, you know, all these energy from things like amusement parks or if you go to Civil War battlegrounds, you know, things that just absorb all this energy, then it can sometimes be replayed over and over. So that does not surprise me in the least that something like that would have happened. So, folks, that is our theme park episode. and the end of the season premiere of season three.
So remember, buy your fast passes early.
Yes. So.
So,
how are we going to end this?
So, oh, no. Y'all have a great week. And my thing just cut out. I sound.
There we go.
Okay.
Sorry, we had a little small technical difficulty when we laughed really loud.
We broke the machine.
Well, it detected some feedback because I have a thing called for feedback protection on, and it made some feedback.
It said, "You're too loud, Metcalf. Shut up."
Yeah.
I am used to that. It's okay.
Well, that may have been me. So, but anyways, though, season three is going to be a great season, folks. We're going to be covering several topics. We're going to be talking about Ed and Lorraine Warren. We're going to be talking about some haunted highways. What else was I looking at?
You had a whole list.
I did have a whole list.
It was so funny. We were down in Florida. I'm swimming in the pool. I come out and I'm laying there because I love. Even though my hands do not appreciate it, I have really bad eczema on my hands in the summer, just in the summer. But anyway, I love the heat. So I'm laid out there with a book, and my phone is blowing up because he's adding all this stuff in for the sea. He's like, I'm planning this, and we're doing this.
No, I was doing that on the drive down.
Or whatever.
But yeah, I was like, adding the calendar. Well,
I guess
my
I started
calendar.
Looking through the calendar stuff. Anyway, it was funny.
But yeah, season three is going to be awesome. For those of you all who are patrons, I am going to be adding bonus episodes each month. My plan is for those bonus episodes is I'm going to showcase one of the a case from Ed and Lorraine Warren's investigations. And the very first one is going to be about Annabelle. And that is going to be coming out next week. I'm going to be recording it on Thursday of next week. And then we're going to be talking about the Amityville Horror and things like that on Patreon because I have to do those episodes by myself because
I'm a scaredy cat and I'm okay with that.
It's okay. I love you anyways.
Well, that's good because I don't do scary things. I used to. Not anymore.
Folks, if you love our show, go out on iTunes and give us a 5-star review and a rating because that helps us come up in the algorithms so we can
be found by other. Find us.
Yes.
Because we love doing the show. We love talking about all this silly stuff and getting to know y'all and y'all getting to know us. And, you know, we'd love to reach as many people as we can.
And come on out. Like I said, come on out and check out our Facebook group because we don't just talk about ghosts and stuff on there. I put funny memes and stuff up there all the time just to try to get people to laugh, you know, because, you know, ghosts can be a little heavy sometimes.
Ghosts are a lot heavy all the time.
Actually, ghosts are pretty light if you think about
it. Oh, dear.
But, folks, I look forward to seeing you around for the rest of season three. And good night and God bless, my friends.
Bye. Peace out, y'all.